This is Carla Dedessi here with Your Family Matters at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Thank you for joining us this Friday morning. I am excited to have Jim Smith with me here today. He is running for judgeship. Am I saying that properly, Jim?
Sure, Carla. We're running for judge in the Court of Common Pleas of Berks County, and I'm thrilled to be here on the phone with you.
Thank you. And you are more than a lawyer. You have a belief system that is strong family and home. You are a family man. You have four beautiful children. Oh, my goodness. How many children?
Carla, I only have three.
You have three. Well, Jennifer, your wife looks like she should be one of your children. She's so young and beautiful.
She gets that often. I'm glad for that.
So tell us a little bit. I know that you are not only a lawyer, but you sit on the board of Hope Rescue Mission in the heart of Reading. You've been the vice president there, and you've served for over 12 years. And you're also one of the founding members of the board of directors of Ivy Hill Foundation, which is a nonprofit foundation supporting therapeutic horses. So when I think about somebody that I want to have in a leadership position in Berks County, because I happen to be a Berks County resident, I think of someone like you, Jim, because you've done well in your own family life. You have your own law firm and business. And I know that you do quite a bit of work with the Pennsylvania Family Institute as well. So why judge? You have so many things happening, so many hats. You're so busy. Why judge?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's we got a lot of sticks in the fire, you might say, and every single thing that we're involved with, whether it's the Hope Rescue Mission or Ivy Hill, or the Pennsylvania Family Institute or Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a great organization out of Phoenix, Arizona, they speak to where my heart's at on matters concerning the law. And why do I want to run for judge? I have had 16 years of practice in the beginning of my career. It was criminal prosecution with the district attorney's office here in Berks County. I was invited to join two law firms doing civil work, and I chose one of them. And I spent about 4 years at that firm and then started my own practice after being called to exercise a little more control and autonomy in the kind of cases that I took. And the risks that I took that always accompany taking a piece of litigation. So why do I want to become judge? I told people at a rally we held last Saturday that one of the purposes in becoming judge will be to protect the people by protecting the law and by protecting the legal process. Mm. In today's day and age, I have seen over 16 years, I have seen so many cases where judges think themselves superhuman, and their ability to understand what they think, what they feel, really, is justice. And in this country, one of the reasons that we've been so successful in accomplishing or reaching justice is the fact that we have outlined a system of rules of civil procedure, rules of evidence, that better ensure that the results are based on the truth. And in my firm, we have the slogan saying, the pursuit of justice guided by truth, because justice without truth isn't really justice. It's a disappointing substitute for truth.
A mockery.
But I've seen that in courts so many times over the last 15 years, and I think the process needs to be protected. I love this passage of scripture in Exodus 18 because you had mentioned early on that, you know, when you think of somebody running for judge, you think of somebody that has a heart for the things that are near and dear to the family and our worldview. I tell people it doesn't matter what you think or I think we want to judge. What matters is what God thinks we ought to have in a judge or what we ought to look for in a judge. And so I turn my eyes to Exodus 18, verse 13, where Moses, with the Israelites, is spending every day from sunup until late in the evening judging the people of Israel and their disputes. So let me go ahead and read that, and we'll find out what God wants us to focus on when choosing a judge. It reads this way, beginning in verse 13, Exodus 18. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit all alone? And all the people stand around you from morning till evening. Verse 15. And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another. And I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you're doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice, in verse 19. And Jethro says to Moses, I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, and in verse 21, this is key, moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And that ends with verse 21 right there, where I think God tells us, first qualification, somebody who's able. I've been in practice for 16 years. I've been in control of dozens of trials, hundreds of hearings, evidentiary hearings, before both magisterial district judge, trial court judges, administrative law judges, both state and federal. My firm reaches in the entire eastern coast of, or eastern side of Pennsylvania, and we've been in a lot of different courtrooms and a lot of different settings. So able men from all the people, and I take that to mean that God didn't want Moses to choose just people from his own clique or his own group of people he may have hung out with. He wanted an adequate cross-representation of all the people. Third, men who fear God. And you and I know what it means to fear God. It means to respect God and his authority in our lives.
Yes.
Fourth, men who are trustworthy. And fifth, men who hate a bribe. And can you look at these qualifications today at the judges that we see and hear about so often in the newspaper? And can't you just see where we're failing as a people?
Yes.
In choosing. In Pennsylvania, we're fortunate that we can still elect trial court judges, and for that matter, appellate court judges. We have a responsibility and an obligation to do that well and in a way that honors our Creator. And so I look to verse 21 of Exodus 18, where God clearly sets forth the qualifications of people that are running for judge.
I love something that... Go ahead.
I'll offer you this, too. I know that your listeners are, one, dedicated to matters of truth. Two, I know that your listeners care about who's going to be running for judge. And so let me give you a story, if we have time for it, Carla.
Yes, we do.
I ran in 2013 for judge, and we ran on a shoestring budget of a fraction of what the leader spent in the primary election. We came 230 votes short out of more than 30,000 votes cast. It was within 1%, and we just missed it. But I'm thankful to God because, you know, things work out for a reason. And during that 2013 race, I had an opportunity to speak to a group of about 30 people. And in front of that group, I explained to them that I chose to go to school at Liberty University. I didn't apply to 5 or 10 different schools. I chose one. When I went to law school, I chose Regent University Law School in Virginia. I didn't apply to 10 or 15. I chose one. I chose those schools because they appreciate what the laws of nature and nature's God means to our legal system. Unfortunately, the newspaper reporter that was there reported my statement as having said, quote, Jim cites the basis for his entire campaign to be, quote, the laws of nature and nature's God, period, end quote. Carla, I am so sad to report that within 24 hours of that newspaper running, I got 3 emails from 3 very successful, very prominent attorneys in this county And the emails said things like, one, you must have been misquoted. Two, please tell me you were misquoted and lay off the Godspeak. You're putting people off. The third one said, either you're running for an ecclesiastical court or you don't understand the doctrine of separation of church and state. Either one I find offensive. Please lay out your understanding of this theory. Carla Dedesi, let me tell you and your listeners something. If the successful and prominent attorneys of this county do not recognize the laws of nature and nature's God as being a direct quote from the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence, I'm not sure
that's right. We
can expect any better among our court system than we have today.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. I agree with you, Jim, that our founding fathers wrote our Constitution, which I believe is from where you will be addressing your court cases, where you should be judging, that is your tool that you're using, and that comes from our Ten Commandments. That is intertwined with Judeo-Christian principles and values. And I would go on to say that they do not understand what the separation of church and state means.
Right, or it's history, what it was intended to mean.
Correct. Right. And I saw you recently speak with the great Sam Rohrer, it's like the great Oz, great and powerful Oz. I saw you speaking with Sam Rohrer, and the two of you did an excellent job of talking about from where our law comes. And as you said, it comes from not 1,000 rules and regulations, and it definitely does not come from one judge who believes they're God. It comes from our God of the Judeo-Christian Bible and the Ten Commandments, just 10 little commandments, right? Isn't that what you and Sam said?
Right. You know what? What makes the United States Constitution so
powerful
and powerful is it speaks to eternal truth. It fairly addresses eternal truths about the human condition. And that ought not be easily modified, certainly not by what our founders considered a mobocracy mentality, where the majority rules or one federally appointed but not elected judge makes a decision for the rest of us. You know, Pennsylvania has 12.5 million people. And it's a shame, I think, when a federal judge makes a decision about an issue that was presented by a subset of only 25 of us. But the U.S. Constitution was designed to make a statement about the human condition. And what we've gotten today is an application or an abuse of that notion by people that want these eternal principles to be modified and changed willy-nilly whenever the mobocracy says that, you know, we need to change to the left or to the right. And that's where you get this notion of a living, breathing document, which is unfortunate because then the Constitution means whatever we or one judge wants it to mean this month.
That's right.
And it's a shame that that's the way it's being interpreted these days.
And lately, it's not even this month. It's this minute.
You're right, Carla.
Which is very confusing. So I want to encourage everyone to go to jimsmithforjudge.com and check out your user-friendly, fabulous website. You have a lot
Thanks
of great.
Thanks very much, Carla.
You have a lot of great endorsements that I think you should be very proud of. And I think that people should go. I'm sure you're looking for volunteers, people to help you, and even donate their money as well. I mean, I hate to say it, but we need money to run a successful campaign. And I just really appreciate all of your comments and from where you believe truth and law originates and is birthed. And I would like to know if you have any closing comments. This is Jim Smith, running for judge in Berks County.
Carl, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to address and be a part of your radio program. What a great opportunity you take to distribute truth to so many listeners in Pennsylvania. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm thrilled to be a friend of yours, and I'm thrilled that you spend the time and energy to make these broadcasts possible.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you have any events coming up that we, or should we just check out your website here and there and see if there's anything that we can go to or participate or meet and greet with you?
Boy, the best way is the website, I think.
Okay.
And to be honest, if any of your listeners want to be more involved, want to be more tightly involved with what's going on with the campaign, well, we'd love to get an email from them, and they can email it to either the email address on the website, or they can send it to my personal email address here at the office, which is jsmith@smithlawgrp.com.
Great. Jim, thank you so much, and God bless.
You too, Carla. Thanks so much.